So why don't we learn that the power of prayer is not in how many words or how eloquent or how long, but I believe it's two things. I think it's faith and patience.
Hi, and welcome to Everyday Answers. We are so excited about this program because together, this is where we will discover solutions in God's Word for our everyday lives.
As we walk through each new day, we all have questions. They're just part of life. But did you know there are answers for you? God says when we look, we'll find Him. He's not trying to hide anything. So together, we are discovering life's everyday answers.
So this show is all about answering your questions. And do not worry, Joyce will be a big part of it every time. You can ask any question that you want, and Joyce will be here to answer it with teaching from God's Word. We'll also be hearing from a lot of people who will be sharing real life stories, that practical application that goes along with what Joyce is teaching of how God's Word is helping them, how it's answering that question and changing their life. And we especially want to hear from you. Join the discussion on social media. We want to be encouraging each other, having a conversation daily. So when you're on Facebook or on Twitter, use hashtag EA. And anytime that you want to ask a question, Joyce may be answering it, hashtag Ask Joyce. So let's get right to our first one. This comes from Ashley, and she says, in the book of Matthew, Jesus talks about prayer. Is it true that God hears us and that what we're praying comes true? Well, Ashley, God does hear us. And Joyce is going to give us an understanding of the simplicity of prayer as she answers that all-important question, how should I pray?
How many of you, when you pray, you sometimes, or even a lot of the time, have this vague feeling that there's still something lacking that you didn't do that you should have done? You know, the devil does not want us to pray with confidence. He wants us to pray with fear and doubt and wondering. And I used to have the exact same thing. As many years as I've been praying and will continue to pray, I used to have that feeling on a regular basis too. Well, you know, I should have said more. Maybe I didn't pray about the right thing, or maybe I just didn't say it the right way. And one of the things that I felt like that God showed me was that I complicated it. And that I thought that it depended on length of time or eloquence in what was said. But he taught me that prayer, effective, life-changing, dynamic prayer, can be so simple, just so amazingly simple. I have one great-grandchild, and he's I guess Jeremiah is about 3, and his mommy one night had a real bad stomach ache, and she was laying in bed kind of doubled up in pain, and he went over and laid his hand on her, said he was going to pray for her, and he said, Jesus, mommy, ouchie, amen. But listen, she said she almost immediately, the pain stopped, and she started feeling better. Actually, I came to a point in my life at one time where God actually challenged me. He said, I want you to ask me for what you want and need with as few words as possible. Yeah, it's harder than you think. You know, it's hard when you've done something wrong to say, Father, I'm so sorry, forgive me for that, thank you. No, we want to go on, oh God, oh please forgive me, God, please forgive me, oh God, I've been so bad, please forgive me, God, I promise I'll never do it again. Yes, you will. Don't even waste your time making promises you can't keep. You're better off to say, I'll definitely do it again if you don't help me. So So why don't we learn that the power of prayer is not in how many words or how eloquent or how long, but I believe it's two things. I think it's faith. Do I believe that God hears me? Do I believe he cares about me and wants to be involved in my life? Well, I can't read the Bible and not believe that. And I think that prayer must be sincere. You're going to see in Scripture today that the Bible says that the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man avails much, makes tremendous power available. I love that in the Amplified. When we pray, tremendous power, woo, is made available. You know where we usually lose our faith? It's while we're waiting. We can pray in such faith, and boy, we can get really excited and have faith when we see a manifestation. But we receive the promises of God, the Bible says, through faith and patience. And a lot of times we have to wait. And one of the things that I've learned to do during that waiting time is any time that doubt comes against me, I open my mouth and say out loud, I believe that God is working in my life right now. I believe that God is working in my life right now. And I'm going to give you some good scriptures to back these things up. But I believe it's just the simple faith. God hears me. He wants to help me. And also then just being sincere about what you're praying. And I think that takes focus. How many of you find it extremely difficult to even focus for 10 minutes in prayer? So this morning, I looked at my clock, it was 8 o'clock, and I'd been praying in and out here and there, you know, and that's good, God hears all that, you know. But I wanted to have 10 minutes of focused, uninterrupted prayer for this session this morning. And I had to really set my mind to do that and not let anything else get my attention. I think, to me, that's what fervent, effectual prayer is. Fervent doesn't have to be yelling. It doesn't have to be crying. You know, I read books about people who weep and cry in prayer, and I think that's marvelous, but I don't cry very easy. And so I'm sure hoping God answers my prayers if I don't cry. Amen? I think it's fervent, effectual prayer, sincere, focused prayer. When we pray, we are talking to God. So let's act like we're talking to God. And not act the way we do when we're talking to somebody else that we are giving them about 10% of our attention and something else 90% of our attention.
Well, we will continue with Joy's teaching on keeping prayer simple, answering that question, how should we pray? But right now she's going to answer a few more of our questions for us. So Joyce, this is a great place to start with Everyday Answers. It's the basis of everything. Prayer is that whole building block of our relationship with Christ.
Well, prayer is such an amazing privilege, and it's sad that so many people look at it as an obligation. You know, like, well, I have to pray.
Yeah.
Well, no, you really don't have to pray. You get to pray. And when we really learn enough about prayer to realize that God delights in having that fellowship with us and that he really wants to do things for us, that he wants to be involved in everything that we do, and that we don't have to be perfect to go to God boldly and let our request be made known. Prayer can become very, very enjoyable. As a matter of fact, I would say if prayer is not enjoyable, then we're probably not going about it right. And I know because I spent a lot of years, and I'm sure you did too, you know, feeling like I had to pray or God was going to be mad at me if I didn't pray. But really, we pray for ourselves. We don't pray as like this little thing to get a little check mark right on our God calendar. It's something that we have the privilege of doing.
Yeah. And it's one of the reasons that we're doing this show is those answers that we're looking for in life come from talking with God. They come from studying his word. And that's one of the things that you really wanted to do with this is teach people that every answer that they need
is right
there in the Bible.
Every single answer that we need is found somewhere in the scripture. And, you know, I had lots of problems. I mean, I was a brokenhearted person with a very wounded soul from all this sexual abuse and mental and verbal abuse in my life, in my childhood. And, you know, we talk about healing a lot, but really the healing of the soul is one of the most beautiful things that can take place. And I think a lot of people don't really understand that our Father is really interested in that part of us. He can get to places in us that nobody else can get to. And, you know, I'm certainly not against counseling, but the Holy Spirit is the counselor. And so even if somebody goes for professional help, they need to have the help of the counselor,
right,
in order to counsel anybody else properly. But if somebody doesn't want to go for counseling or they can't afford to go for counseling, I was a total mess inside. I mean, I looked okay outside. You know, I could hold down a good job. There were many things that I could do. I wasn't like falling apart on the outside, but I just was so wounded inside. I felt rejected. I felt worthless. I had no value as a person. So I was always trying to gain my value by what I did. And I found every answer in the Word. And I really want our viewers to know that whatever they're dealing with right now, or whatever they will deal with in the future, your answer is in God's Word. Now, you may not know exactly where to go to find it, but that comes as you study and learn. And the good thing is you start by prayer, asking God, which is all prayer is, this is a problem for me. I need your help. Lord, please lead me to the right answer.
Right.
And you'd be amazed at how God can lead you either to the right scripture or to the right teaching that brings you to that scripture. And so let's just say again, every answer that anybody needs to any problem that they have is found in the Word of God.
Yeah. And we're going to be finding them together
here
on this program. You're going to be leading us through it. But one of those places to start is with asking, like you said, going to God in prayer. You said to do it boldly. So let's explain what that means a little bit. Sometimes we think, I don't want to bother God with that, or I don't know exactly how to put it into words.
Or that's too little for me to bother God with that.
Right.
Or, you know, I haven't been good. I've done this wrong or that wrong, and so I'm feeling kind of bad about myself. And so I probably shouldn't even ask God for help at all. But then even if I'm desperate enough to ask, I kind of ask real like, you know, well, God, if you'll just do, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, personally, I wouldn't like it if one of my children came into my home and said, Mom, you know, I noticed you had a roast in the refrigerator. Oh, I really hate to ask.
You probably don't care about this anyway.
Yeah, but, you know, would it be possible for me to have a bite? I mean, I would probably just think, what is wrong with you? And so when you have good relationship with somebody, you're forthright and you ask.
And so you do it in love.
Yeah, and the devil loves, he is the accuser of the brethren, and he loves to make us think, well, if you didn't do everything right, then you can't ask God for anything. But there's great scriptures in Hebrews 4:15-16 that says that we have a high priest who understands our weaknesses and our infirmities. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne that we might receive the grace and the help that we need at just the right time. And so there's a great example given in the book of James about Elijah, how he was a man with a constitution just like we have. And Elijah was a great prophet, but he also had weaknesses. He was bold, but then he was also weak. He was strong in faith, but then at other times he was also fearful. And yet he prayed a bold prayer that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain for 6 months. Then he prayed that it would rain, and it did rain. So that example
That's
is given
bold.
In James 5, that if Elijah, a man who also had weaknesses, could pray like that and get that done, then we should follow that example and realize that when a righteous man prays, that great things happen, but a righteous man is not necessarily one who does everything right all the time.
Yeah.
It's a person who has a relationship with God through Christ and has been made right with God through their faith in him.
Well, Raquel from South Africa would like to know, how do I know that God hears my prayers?
You have to know by faith. You know, you just, everything in our relationship with God is by faith. And you know, the truth is we can wrestle with doubt and unbelief, but faith is something, believing is something that we can choose to do or we can choose not to do. And the truth is we do believe something. We are going to put our faith in something.
Right.
And so I think God is the best choice that we have. And if nothing else, test it out.
Yeah.
Just try bringing everything before God, believing that he hears. I love Jesus as he approached the Father in prayer when he was ready to raise Lazarus from the dead. He said, I know that you hear me. So he basically prayed this prayer for the people standing there. He already knew that God heard him and knew what needed to be done, and he was already assured that his Father was going to do it.
Yeah.
So, and I think also, Ginger, I think that gaining confidence in prayer can only come through doing it. You pray and, you know, start with little things. If you don't have the faith for bigger things, start with little things. I had to start with small things. And to be honest, when I look back, some of the seemingly small things that God did for me in the early years of my walk with him are still some of the most precious memories that I have.
And you start seeing those answers.
You do.
And your faith is built.
That's right. And we need to pray expecting and watching for God to work in our lives.
Well, this is a great question about what it means to just continually be in a spirit of prayer. Wayne from Canada, he's from Ontario, and he says, Joy says to talk to God throughout the day. I'm wondering if I have to do this out loud or can I do it silently in my head just as I walk through my daily life?
You can do either one.
Whatever you want.
I probably pray silently more than I pray out loud. And the good thing is God lives in us through the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And so he knows every thought before we think it. And so, I mean, it wouldn't even be proper to be out amongst people all the time having this verbal conversation with somebody that nobody can see. And so much of our prayer, especially when we're out with people, will be silent prayer. And that is perfectly right and acceptable.
Because a lot of people think, you know, I have to be in the right posture. I have to bow my head, fold my hands, close my eyes. It has to be an official, well-thought-out prayer.
Right.
And that's not what real life is. That's not what communion with God is.
It really, I think that I've just been really struck in the last year with a greater desire to teach people how much we are in partnership with God and how he wants to be involved in everything that we do. And so just carrying on this running conversation with God throughout the day. And, you know, God doesn't always speak to us like we speak, but he does lead us and guide us, and he does speak to us, the still small voice, a knowing on the inside, through a circumstance, through a desire, something coming through someone else. God actually does speak, and he will lead you and guide you. But it's great just to talk to God about everything. You know, I mean, I started this morning, like I'm sure you did. These are the things that I've got going on today, Lord. I need your help in each and every thing that I do. And when I went downstairs to work out this morning, to ride my exercise bike and do the treadmill, okay, Lord, this is what I have to do. Please help me. Give me the grace. Help me finish it. You know, help me get to the office on time. It's just, that's really what makes relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, this is great stuff. We really appreciate your help. And I want to get back and see what you were talking about during the teaching. So
okay, good.
If you don't mind, we're going to get back to that.
All right.
And hear the conclusion to How Should I Pray?
Well, the first thing is you're not ever going to get an answer if you don't ask. So the first royal law of prayer is you have not because you ask not. Now, I just wonder how many people in here this morning or possibly people watching by television, you have tremendous needs in your life, but you're not asking. Maybe you're wishing. Well, I wish. And I tell this story pretty often because it amazed me, but it fits right into this teaching this morning, and this is just a great example. Met a woman in a department store, and she recognized me and from TV, and so we started chatting. Yes, she was a Christian. She'd been in this certain church for I don't know, 15 years, something like that. And so I was just asking her questions about the department store. And, you know, I said, do you guys work on commission or do you work on salary? And she said, well, we actually work on salary, but we do have a quota that we have to meet. And if we don't meet that quota, then we'll get a warning. And then if we still don't meet that quota, then we can actually lose our jobs. And so to me, that's just a real easy fix because of what I've learned about the Word of God. So I said, well, why don't you just pray that God will give you favor so the people shopping here will come to you for their purchases? And she looked at me kind of like some of you are looking at me like, huh. Well, all I've been doing is just standing around being afraid I'm going to lose my job. And she looked at me and she said, well, would it be okay to pray for something like that? I said, honey, you can talk to God about anything and everything that concerns you. If I needed to meet my quota at work and all it was going to take would be for some of the customers to float over toward me, then why would I not ask God to send them in my direction? Well, what if that wasn't His will? Well, then don't worry about it. You won't get it. This is not going to be hard today. I love what the Apostle Paul said. He said, I've learned how to be content. And the Amplified Bible says, satisfied to the point where I'm not disturbed no matter what state I'm in. Now, he didn't say satisfied to the point where I never want to see change. See, you can want to see change. You can want things to be different in your life. You can want to get married someday, but you don't have to be unhappy every day until you are. Amen. You have not because you ask not. That's the answer to the whole mess. Why is there so much strife and quarreling and bickering and arguing? It's all the stuff you want. You don't get it. You see somebody that's got it. You get jealous and envious. You still don't end up with what you want. What's the problem? You have not because you ask not. Well, I don't know about you, but when I read that many years ago, I tell you what, I was into so many works of the flesh. You know what works of the flesh are? It's us trying to do what only God can do. So ask, ask, ask. And then in the Amplified Bible, and I love this, when it says, ask in my name, you know, we are to pray in Jesus' name, to the Father, through the Holy Spirit. When you say in Jesus' name, it's not like a little magic charm that we tack onto the end of all of our prayers. But when I say in Jesus' name, what I'm actually saying, Father, I'm presenting to you everything that Jesus is. That's the Amplified translation. When you pray in my name, that is presenting all to the Father that Jesus is. So thank God we don't go and present what we are. We would never get anything. We pray in His name. In His name. So the first thing is we need to learn that we can pray anytime, anywhere. Learn to pray our way through the day. Prayer is a privilege, not an obligation. And we miss a great deal in life just because of a failure to get God involved in it. Open up the door and get God involved in everything just by asking Him. Acknowledge God in all your ways and He will direct your path. Keep prayer simple. We're more likely to pray often if we believe it can be short and simple. Matthew 6:7 says, and when you pray, don't heap up phrases, multiplying words, repeating the same ones over and over as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their much speaking. So what's he saying? You ask for it, you believe in the Spirit that you got it, and then you will get it. You see that? First comes faith, then comes sight. First you believe, then you see. In our society, we say, well, I'm not going to believe it if I don't see it. But in God's economy, we have to learn how to live the exact opposite. If it's in the Word, if it's the will of God, if I ask God for it, I believe that He's sending it and that I will get it, and I'm going to stay firm in my faith until I see that manifestation.
So, yes, God does want to hear from us. And we know for sure that if we're not praying, He's not hearing us. So just get out there, pray, give God a chance, because our prayers can be really effective when we just go to Him with pure hearts and motives and just complete honesty. You can talk to Him about anything that you want to. So we hope that that answer has helped you, and we would love to hear from you on social media. I'm going to be sharing a few of the amazing stories that you've sent us in just a minute. So we've been asking you to join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter, and we love hearing from you. Here are a couple things that have come in on the Joyce Meyer Ministries Facebook page. This is from Uganda, and it's so wonderful that we're hearing from you all over the world. He says, "Thank you for inspiring me in times when I almost lost my life. When I was blaming God for my trouble and asking why I was born, even as a Christian, I was convinced that I was no good. But through reading your posts, I became strong, and it's God's word that changes lives." He says, "All the glory and honor go to God." That's amazing. Here's another one from Kansas. Christina says, this is about Joyce's testimony specifically, "If you could drop your anger with your family and you've been abused like me, then I could drop my anger as well. God can change me, and He has changed me. People keep telling me I look so happy. I love that. It's beautiful. My glow is all because of God." So there's nothing more encouraging than hearing how God is working in other people's lives. Let us hear from you. Use hashtag EA. Go to the Joyce Meyer Ministries Facebook page and make sure that you're keeping in touch with us so that we can encourage one another as we go through this everyday life and have all of these questions that we're all dealing with all the time. We hope that you'll share with us some unique stories. And this time we want to hear how you've been waiting on your prayers to be answered and what God has done, and perhaps what you share can help someone else.
We may have lost our house, but we didn't lose everything. We didn't lose our family members. We didn't lose each other.
I saw the tornado. We were watching it on TV. I was at my mom and dad's with our daughters. Just like all these other houses, we had piles of rubble. It's gone. It's gone. I didn't even care to stop and look. It was really the next day before I surveyed my own damage.
As a pastor, you know, one of the first things you want to be able to do is help, you know, your community. You want to be able to help the people in your church. We have a couple who has been a part of our church for several years now, and they were really ingrained into our congregation and about ready to retire from the military, was going to retire here. And they told him, said, "No, you got one more tour to do."
My husband was not here, and we didn't know if the Marine Corps was going to be able to send him. And I was just so stressed out about what were we going to do. Like, our whole life plan has just changed.
She's just distraught. So her husband gets on a plane, has to fly 48 hours to get back over here, and not knowing what they're going to do, okay? And we were trying to figure out how we were going to help them clean this up and haul everything away. And right in the middle of trying to figure that out, we get the call that we're going to be able to get those funds. And I'm sorry, they mean a lot to me. And for me to be able to tell them, I got this. I'm going to clean this up for you. It's not going to cost you a dime. It just means the world to me.
It was just a blessing for you guys to help us do that and to step in. There's never, ever going to be enough words to say thank you. You know, the most important thing is that we have our family. All this stuff, it's going to be, but we're so thankful.
And this morning, we just got through hauling off their last load. We were able to get some trucks and some dump trucks in there and haul it all off, and it's taken care of, and we got a team of volunteers over there raking it up.
It's a blessing that, you know, God has you guys here, the Joyce Meyer Ministry and Hand of Hope, Convoy of Hope, all of these Christian ministries that are here just loving on people, and a difference gets made in our lives just because you love us, because God has sent you here. It shows God's love for us.
You mean more to us at Joyce Meyer Ministries than you may ever know. We appreciate you, and we thank our friends and partners for making this worldwide ministry possible. Together, we're feeding the hungry, clothing the poor, and presenting the gospel to the nations. Please contact us or visit joycemeyer.org today to share your prayer requests, find out more about our resources, see Joyce's conference schedule, and to join us in partnership as we share the love of Christ around the globe.